There are four transfers that I want to speak about this morning. Four changes in the Christian life. Four crossing over from one thing to another. And these four transfers are transmission, transfusion, transition, transfusion, transmission, and translation. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 for our first reading, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or new creation, as it should be translated. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, here we see a transition from the old life to the new life. The word transition does not mean gradual, but it means change. It's just that most changes that we see in life are so gradual that in the transition of changing from this to this, it's usually a gradual change, and so we often come to think of the word transition meaning gradual, just a gradual change, because most things change gradually. But there can be a gradual change or a dramatic instantaneous change, and it's still a transition. Webster defines the word as passage from one place or state or stage and so forth to another. And then he says, change. It means a change, a passage from one to another, a carrying over. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we see that Peter, by the Holy Spirit, says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Here we see a transition, a change, a crossing over from out of darkness into this marvelous light. You didn't see the things that you now see when you were not born again. You were walking in darkness. And communism, to many people, just seemed like an alternate way of life. They get a right to their form of government, and democracy has rights, they have a right to theirs, the different religions, and everybody has their own thing and thinks their own things. But we're just an accident in space, and all of these other things you thought. But now coming into the light of God, and an inner life that he has, we know in whom we have believed. We know that he has changed us. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We have an assurance inside that he has released us from our sins. He's freely forgiven us. He has justified us. We have a hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ. We know it's true. No matter what the world might say, how they may laugh, we know we have a hope. We know that man has been created for a purpose. We know that we're in the plan of God. We know there is an out translation of the saints of God. We know that God will bring the church to perfection. We know these things. He put the light within us. We now know things we didn't know before. We know things that Kissinger doesn't know. We know things that the world doesn't know out here in the planning and hoping. They don't know what to do, but we know. They're worried about the future. This globe is only so big. You only put so many people in it. They're talking about a $100 billion city of about 10,000 people out in space, so they can transmit solar energy to the earth, trying to get ready for the future. Talk about domes, cities underneath the sea, all that nonsense. Somehow they're straining their brains, trying to come up with some way to try to figure out how this old globe can keep going on and on and on and on for a while, because they see it running out, and they don't know what to do, and they're making these incredible statements, But we know that it isn't long, and we know what's coming. We have come from darkness into this marvelous light where we can walk in the joy and power of the Holy Spirit. We have undergone a transition from the old life unto the new. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 24, we see that the Apostle John brought this truth by the Holy Spirit concerning this same subject. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There was a transition from death to life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This transition is the conversion experience. Conversion means change. We are changed from the creature we used to be to the creature that we now are by a spiritual birth, by a new birth, by being born from above. This isn't a new leaf we turn over on New Year's Day. Have a new leaf. It's a new life. It's not religion. It's a changed person. Amen. It's not a forgiven sinner, but it's a new heart. All things have passed away. There's a new attitude. There's a new mind. There's a new heart. You are a new person. You're different. You can't even relate to the way you used to be. This is the first step in the Christian life, is a transition from darkness into light. How many have experienced this transition, this step? How many have stopped still with this step? That's the end. This is only the first strand. We have to go on to the second strand, which is transfusion. When men are dying in hospitals, and there's a loss of blood, maybe by an accident in which the blood has run out of the body, they give them a blood transfusion. Transfusion. They carry over the blood of one person, put in a jar and through a tube. It's carried over from one person to the next person. They infuse him with the blood of another. And remember, God said the life is in the blood. And they take the life, blood of another, and they put it into the bloodstream of this person that he might live. There is also a spiritual transfusion of the life of Jesus, who is life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You were dead in trespasses and sin, and I am not only the resurrection, not only when I died and rose again and ever liveth, but I am come that ye might have life, and I take you from the dead and resurrect you, bring you into a transition state from the dead to the living, and then infuse you with my life. I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, I am the transfusion, see? I am the life. Now, transfusion and resurrection don't mean exactly the same thing. But a resurrection is coming out of, and then there's an infusion with the life. And so we could say he is also the transfusion and the life, because he transfuses us with his life. In John chapter 14 and verse 19, we read, yea, a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. How? Legally? Does he mean legally? Because he lives, we shall live also legally? Yes, but he means more than that. He means actually, experientially. Experientially, by a transfusion of his life. Legally, you can live by the fact that he lived. But experientially, you can only live by a transfusion of his life into yours. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we read this. I am crucified with Christ. Well, Paul's dead. Nevertheless, I live. Resurrection. Yet not I, but Christ, not I, but him, liveth in me. Transfusion. And the life which I now live, I'm still living. In the flesh, oh, I thought he meant in the spirit. He's still living in the flesh. That is, he's still in the flesh, body. You find the flesh is still there? He's still living in the flesh, but I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Do you? For if righteousness come of the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul said, I live, yet not I but Christ. Or he could say, I live, yet not by reason of my blood, but of his blood shed for me. And it is now his blood, spiritually speaking, that flows in my veins. Or it's his life that flows in my veins. Or it's Christ that is operating within me as my life. It is no longer I, but Christ infused to me, who's operating within me as my life. And we need transfusion, that it is no longer I, but Christ. And that doesn't mean that when you die to self, that you don't have any flesh left, that you can't feel yourself, you've got no personality, you're gone and dead, and you don't even have a personality anymore. No, then when that happens, you shall live in the flesh, and the flesh can smell and love flowers and love cake and enjoy a game of tennis and a boat ride, and you're still in the flesh, but you're living by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave his life for you, and you're living by a transfusion of his life, that you're releasing him within you, that you no longer operate by your mind and carnal desires, but rather giving it over to him and yielding to him. He is now operating in you till men don't see you. They see him because you're not doing your own will, but the will of your Father which is in heaven, as Jesus said. And that's the transfused life. In Colossians 1:27, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1:27, I'm going to hold that one again. This is this thing. This is, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, glory. Christ is the hope. What hope have you got? What hope have you got for the power of God? You want glory? How many of you want glory? The glory of God in you. What is your hope for the glory of God? Well, I'm just going to have to work harder at it. Just going to have to get a hold of myself. Just going to have to really try. I'm just going to have to... Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only hope you got of glory in your soul, which is God, is Jesus in you, not you. That means you got to release him. Let him out of the box. Make a decision to will to put the key in and turn it and open up your heart and say, Lord, you answer him. Bless you, shut up and be quiet a minute. Lord, you answer him. Lord, you love him. Lord, you minister. You got to decide by the will. The executive area of your life has to make the decision and say, I order the carnal man to be quiet, and I'm giving this assignment to the spirit man. Now go ahead.
to do it. Now go ahead. Lord, you go ahead. You go ahead and tell them. Well, brother, I tell you, I was just going to smash you. I had so many arguments up. I thought, man, I can really let him have it. I got so much. I know he's wrong. I can overpower him. I'm going to smash him into the ground with arguments. He can't hold his head up. And then I'll prove that I'm right. But then I said, Lord, you answer him. And the Lord would say, actually, if you beat him in the ground and taunt him that you're right, he's not going to be able to do anything right after that information. Now, what are you going to do with it? He's upset. He's not going to believe it anyway. Even if he knows you're right inside, he's not going to walk in it. He's mad at you. But now the Lord is going to answer. The Lord is going to say, we're brethren, have the same Father. Jesus loves you. You're misunderstanding me, brother, but I love you anyway. God bless you. And one of these times you get an opportunity, maybe we can go up and we can talk about it some more. But in the meantime, remember we both love God. And God, we're brothers, and we'll both trust God and be peaceful with one another and love one another and work together right. God will get us together somehow, some way. And so I'm just trusting God will get our hearts and minds together one of these times. Let the Lord answer him, and he feels better about you as he walks on. Be peaceable.
Transfusion is the change, will bring a change from a self-centered life to a Christ-centered life. Are you self-centered? Are you self-centered? What is your whole day up, taken up? Well, what am I going to do now? What about me? And how about me? And how about this relate to me? And everything's related to you? And that's why you fight so much, because you're self-centered. Can't get along with your husband, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, various people. You're self-centered. Everything is going to be me. And if I'm threatened in the slightest way, I come out fighting. You ever known anybody like that? I mean, you ever been that way? If you're threatened, you come out fighting. If you're threatened, you blame somebody else. If you're threatened, you rebel. If you're threatened, you're stiffing your back. If you're threatened, stop your ills. Because you're threatened. You know, when you stop being so important to yourself, you won't be so defensive about that. Or you'll stop worrying so much about it. Christ-centered. Now, just as long as Jesus is glorified, just as long as God is having his way, then I'm happy. Not my will, Lord, but yours. Transfusion of God, transfusing his life to yours, will change you from a self-life to a Christ-life. How? By really trying hard? No, by transfusion. We said before, the only person who can live the Christ life is Christ. You can't live the Christ life. God didn't expect you to live the Christ life. You're not Christ. How can you live the Christ life? You're not Christ. You haven't come to the same maturity. You haven't gone to the same trouble. He overcame by the things which he suffered. You haven't suffered the same thing. So how can you overcome like him if you haven't suffered the same thing? You're not without sin. You're not in that place. You couldn't possibly live the Christ life. Some of you are finding that out. But Christ can live the Christ life. And if you release Christ in you, then you are indeed living the Christ life, because no longer I, but Christ, for the life I live. But we'll find we're still living, but Christ is now living in us. He can do it if we'll believe him and release him by decision. You just said, I'm going to believe God and allow God to flow through my life, and I'm going to be sweet because I'm going to let Jesus be sweet through me. I'm going to let him operate. You'll be sweet. And if you're kind, cantankerous, and you're systematic and carnal and negative, I can't help it. I'm just negative. I really can't help it. Oh, well, maybe you can't, but Christ can. You have him biting in you. You can say, Lord, I'm just going to allow you to be sweet. And now I'm going to step out and faith believing, and I'm going to walk in sweetness because you're in me, and I'm going to allow you to yield to your spirit. Next thing you know, you're being sweet. Because let me prove this to you. Some of you that know you're not sweet have that revelation. At times when the Spirit of the Lord's been on you, you have been real sweeties. You got baptized in the Holy Ghost. How sweet were you right afterwards? See, you can be sweet if you allow God to be sweet through you. You don't have to go on and say, well, I can't help it, I'm this way. I mean, I'm Irish, you know. Let my Irish up. I didn't get your Irish up. The devil got your carnality up.
Don't blame it on the Irish people.
God hasn't called us to stand upon the Mount of Transfiguration all of our time. Always sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, raptured in spirit, in the glory land, just being infused with His love and His power and being in His presence all the time. God hasn't called us to do that all the time. That's later. That's when you get to heaven. We come up and have a refueling job. And like the aircraft refuel, and the B-52 bomber, for example, is beginning running out of fuel. Someplace over the Pacific, it meets with a KC-135 tanker plane that is full of fuel, got a long boom in the back. It drops that boom back, and a man sits back and looks through a glass window, and with his hand, he has little wings on that thing. He flies that boom, and here comes his tanker. B-52 opens up IFO inside refueling doors, and the top of it, the bomber flies along, and the man in the back can hold it steady, and the bomber pilot doesn't find that place. Fighter pilots do in theirs, but their bombers, they don't. They stay right there, and he can hold it steady, and it's his job to get the boom into the receptacle, and he's the man who flies the KC-135 by the tail, and he says, "All right, pilot, slow it down 5 knots, drop it about 10 feet, hold it steady, right to left," and he flies that boom right into it and gets a transfuse of the fuel. It's a transfusion, fuel transfusion. And you know, it's not us that does it. He's the one that comes down, and he puts his transfusing probe in us, as it were, in our spirit, and he begins to transfuse. But you've got to be willing to come up with a tanker plane and allow him to begin to do it. You've got to be willing to fly level and straight and let him inject you with his own spirit. You can't just fly off on your own rebellious and expect the tanker plane to ever do it. And when the winds are buffeting, it's a little more of a job. But you still got to do it or you'll go down. You'll get out of fuel. And we've got to have that spiritual transfusion of the Lord. We're also called to be light in a dark valley, not always in the mountaintop. We're called to fight the good fight of faith on the plain of human battles, spiritual battles in this world. We're called to bind the wounds of the man who fell among thieves. We've got to be a good Samaritan to him, bind his wounds up. We're called to be light in this world. We should be witnesses when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. We're in this world, but not of it. We're called to preaching to Nineveh, preaching to sinful Jerusalem out here. But not without transfusion. Not without transfusion. There are churches out here that are trying to do it without transfusion of the Holy Ghost, and they're dying and becoming worldly. Taking the world's music, the world's philosophy, the world's programs, the world, and they're becoming worldly, and the world has now trapped the church. Turned the church upside down. There used to be streetcars that ran on batteries. They put a battery in, and the streetcar was good for a while going down the track, but it gained less power and less power and less power until finally it stopped. Unless it got a new battery put on it, it couldn't go on. Then there came a time and said, "We're going to have to be more constant than this." And they began to run electric lines. And they began to tap into electric lines that there might be a transfusion of energy from the electric lines down through the boom into the generator and then through the motor and the wheels into the streetcar, so it didn't have to be running out all the time. Well, there are many Christians that are on battery systems. And you have to get to another Holy Ghost meeting. They're just looking for another camp meeting someplace. They're going through the pages of the newspaper. If I can just find a camp meeting, I'm running out. If I can just get there before I'm all out. You know? And they come into a service and they go, "Oh, devil been beating me around all week. Ooh. You know? Oh, it was rough. Oh." Because that gives the altar call so I can repent again. Every week they've got to come into the repentance station, get a new battery, get it better last week to week. Brother, you need a transfusion. You need to take the bloodline from him and plug it into you. Leave it there. We've made a transition from darkness into light. God's given you a spiritual battery, but you've got to keep it charged up. But now we need to get to a place where we'll join our lifeline to his. So it's no longer I, but Christ. So His energy is flowing through us. So we can walk steady, not be like yo-yos, or swinging doors, or roller coasters. With a transfusion, with His blood flowing into our veins. How many have made this change? Some of you are not sure. Maybe even the transition from the transition to the transfusion. Let's look at the third step. Third transmission. Webster says that transmission means to transfer from one person or place to another. In an automobile, there are transmissions. You ladies, listen. It's maybe the only time you'll understand it. You've got a motor. We won't go into the details. And you've got wheels which turn. We won't go into the details. But you know the wheels have to turn or you won't get there. And you know you've got a motor. But your motor is not turning your wheels. As some of you know when you're in neutral. Motor's running, but the wheels aren't turning. Because you're in neutral. There is a transmission, which is a link between the motor and the wheels. To make it simple, there's a link between the two. And the transmission is the link that transfers the energy from a transmits the energy from the engine to the wheels so your car could go. You lose your transmission, you can't go any place no matter how much you race the motor. There's also transmitting messages by wire. When you transmit a message, you write down a letter and you say, this is the message, I want you to send it. You don't expect him to exercise all kinds of literary and individual discretions and to translate and change it and so forth and send the message off some different way. All the message is doing is being transmitted from this point by energy to this point. See? Now, Christians, for some reason, we are bound to insist, it seems, on believing that our main job is doing. Yes, don't we? We think we've got to do. I've just got to do the ministry of God. I've got to do this. I've got to do God's will. I've got to do. Okay. We are positive that we have got to do. We're just infected with that idea somehow that we've got to do. And if we're doing, well, I'm doing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm doing. I'm all right. I'm doing. I've got to do. But that isn't what God called us to do is to do. He called us to transmit. Because nobody's in shape to do anything to please God. He's not called you to do. He's called you to transmit. Jesus must be transmitted. Not you must be transmitted. Not you must go out and do something. You've got to just transmit. You don't have to do, just transmit. We are called to be ambassadors, aren't we? The scripture says we're ambassadors of God. What's an ambassador do? Well, get out there and do. No, brother, get out there and transmit. Our nation says this, and I'm transmitting it to you. We are called to be a kingdom of priests. A priest isn't out there to teach, a priest isn't a teacher anyway, according to the scriptures. A priest is a transmitter. He transmits God's will to the people, and what God wants and types, or what God's word, or whatever he's doing, he is transmitting, and he's a link, he's a transmission between the motor and the wheels. He's between God and the people and God. He's a mediator. He's a transmitter between them. We are prophets of God, or transmitters. The Hebrew word means to bubble forth like a fountain. He's just like a well coming out. There's a power underneath. It's just letting something out. He spoke in the prophets, the scripture says, and through the prophets. And so we find that the prophet is saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm just transmitting what God says. God spoke to me, and I'm transmitting His will and His word. Christians are to be transmitters. A Christian. Christian. A Christian is a disciple. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch because we would be like a disciple. You know what a disciple is? A disciple sits at the feet of his master, and he learns from the master, and then he runs out and gives his own theories, doesn't he? No. He transmits. If you're a disciple of Socrates, you're gonna transmit what Socrates teaches. If you're a disciple of Plato, you're going to be transmitting Platoism. And if you're a disciple of Christ, you're going to be transmitting Christianity. You're going to be transmitting Christ. We're to be transmitters. It's not what I do for God, but what I allow Him to do through me. See? By means of me, or through me, as the transmitter. We are transmitting. The world doesn't need us. It needs Jesus. Now, God does not want us to try to be the motor. A lot of Christians are trying to be the motive, trying to be the source of the power. But he wants us to be a link between the motor and the wheels. He wants us to be the transmission. Also, it is not for the transmission to try to force the wheels by itself. Can you mechanics see the transmission trying to force the wheels by itself? They turn over, the wheels are going to turn. Transmission can't force the wheels by itself. It is not our job to force the wheel. So some Christians are going to go out and bless God. I'm going to flip everybody's position. When I get out there, when I get to church, I'm going to lay it to them. See, you're only the transmitter. If God puts power to do to go forward, then you've got to go forward. If you put the second, you better transmit it in the second. If it goes to the third, you better transmit it in the third. If it goes in reverse, you better transmit it in reverse. If you hold still, you better hold still. Otherwise, you're going to break your transmission. That's you. You can't fight against it. And the wheels are, your wheels are scared. If you try to do anything contrary, say,
but God's got wine the speed of the motor. And oil and honey
now,
and so forth waiting to
let me give you
the bread.
If you allow the motor
later, verses 8 and 9,
to turn the wheels
he does
by you,
and gets the bread. And he wants
then there's
no strain. Bread and bread only.
The power is coming here. You're just going with it.
Learn, yearn for more.
You can tell
on
the whole thing. You and people.
Not for
God's giving
them.
And they're going around because
they're out for wine and
you're going around because
for
the
this isn't heaven yet. He wants to satisfy and fill you, but he doesn't want you to be satisfied and tired. He wants you to long for heaven. He wants you to long for more.
No, that is,
because he's got a lot
tight.
More.
You're going to get a gap in your
life.
You're going to
get
your
life.
Boom! You know, when you're taking first, there's a slot in there, and one of the things starts to turn, and then it hits the other, which is sitting there dead, because the transmission's in two pieces. And you know, when all the transmitters are many pieces,
upon
it. And if we're not all
neither
tightly linked all the way into the motor,
you've
got a slop at the motor end of it.
As we've gone on,
somehow we could all keep tied together so we can go together.
And so,
this one will get a break.
The righteousness of Christ did not wear so old.
I'm going to tell
you
a very quick story.
The righteousness of Christ is old and
put in story form. But, Britain, in World War II,
neither
was saved
foot swell these 40
by the
years.
Royal Air Force.
Your feet
they wasn't saved by the Navy.
You
wasn't saved by the Army.
And so your ministry
wasn't
did not
saved by anything but the Royal Air Force.
It did not swell up and get all puffed up.
And after the
but
battle was over,
God.
And
he
Britain,
all
which
all
had
natural
an inferior air force,
and
military
so
power
control.
Defeated
it
the German Air
against
Force.
The rocks and ruined our ministry.
And when it was over,
but
Churchill made the statement,
up to
never did
ministry,
so many
feet,
or so much
kept our feet. They might not move out of the way.
Because the fighter force only amounted
and
something
lost
like
the Lord for.
About 600
and verse 5, thou shalt also consider the man
and
heart,
that
as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chastens his
son.
Out of love, he's chastening us to teach us, to correct us, to discipline us. And so God does chasten us. Sometimes we whine and groan and complain a little bit.
The
but God does chasten us. And how does
the
he chasten us?
The Corinthian churches at large have abandoned the job that God gave them to do.
They have abandoned the job, but the Holy Ghost gave them to do.
If by the baby's little, he's crying to do the job, and eventually, if we want to be a man and not cry, we deserve it.
And then love him for it anyway.
Certainly, there are many jobs that I have to face every day, and many decisions I have to face.
Therefore,
I make many decisions.
Now, shall keep the commandments of the Lord.
My desk, and I can't spend a week on each one.
Because of all of this, thou shalt keep the commandments.
And my problem isn't that I don't know what to do. My problem is I'm wrestling with a computer. I don't know what to do. That's not my problem. I need a revelation from God.
Not
why your
own ways. Speak all devices.
And the problem
with
God is
there's
so much to do that I just have to work so many hours to do it. I cut down on that.
Trying to
find ways to
walk in His ways. What are His ways? Jesus said, I am the way.
I'm not getting everything done.
Christ is the way of God.
I'm putting revelation to God.
Walk in the way of Christ.
Off because I've cut down.
Men have nothing.
I'm not able
Christ
to go
none
with many hours anymore.
He is our example. Walk as Christ
fall.
Let it let the fruit that stood be offered to you. Humble, meek, and gentle, and kind. Caring for one another. Fulfilling one another.
Classes out there for the next
year. Being willing and obedient to God and hearing His voice always.
And the problems I have to face, I don't want to face. But I know this.
And to fear Him, to fear Him, to
be constantly energized by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Walk in His ways and fear Him.
Then when you face the problem, the situation, it's going to be easier. You're going to be able to go through it
enough. The little children,
but I found myself in a difficult place.
And they're not mature enough to obey out of love.
Not only time-wise and at first, but
so they must be fine.
I've been brought to a
obey.
State of a nervousness
and
pain in the body.
You're not
and problems that I haven't been
say,
able
even to, your month, and
to
say,
renew
you
my energy
to
in the Lord by praying.
They don't
much.
Love you enough
and
to obey you.
I hate
to have
you
have to inform you this.
But I need.
But the real
bundle of nervousness and
they love the milk.
I can't.
They love the path.
It holds the thing that I need.
They love you, but they do not love you enough to obey you.
Good times and I don't need.
Later.
You know, if you're not walking, if you're not doing things right, you might take 10 hours
you know
to do what God can do for you in 5 minutes.
And
you
develop
more than 10 hours. If you're not
later they learn,
and God does
do things for you,
and He makes me in His word, and He makes me in prayer,
and
I'm not going up and down
because
my heart is sick.
But after
and yet I am suffering somewhat.
To make you happy.
Although
just
God has given me messages, God has blessed me,
doing
been good to me,
to
I am suffering somewhat because I do not have
seven, for the Lord thy
all
God
that energy
you a good land,
that I need.
A land full of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills.
And I'm going to ask you to pray.
Now here we want to see the Lord thy God bringeth thee.
I'm going to just forget.
You have not brought yourself.
Because I'm in good shape.
The Lord has brought you.
Let me stand up here and look in good shape, and I'm in terrible pain.
Can He lead you into the river?
Over again.
Rivers
I'm getting much better
in
some areas. One area I'm getting better. The rest of them getting better.
Rushing up. Those are the high victories.
Let me say the prayer.
We have rivers of living water, the brooks and valleys of living water that we drink at.
And help
us
undergird
me. More than refreshing Brookville.
Don't
hinder me. The man He's bringing us into, it's ahead of us. There are
the job is too big. You need the power of the Spirit in a major way. You see, I needed a major way. There's just too much to do for a man and too many responsibilities. And so I need your prayer support, but I need your prayer support also from
into depth.
I need you to go in the
spread of me. Depth.
I believe that's possible.
Depth.
I believe that you do not have
of God.
All the time you
valleys
need.
Valleys and hills.
And all the capabilities
the hills both. The valleys are the low places.
That people can
the
go
hills
and
the high
intercessors
places. You'll have water
in
the low
instead of somebody else.
You'll have water in the high places.
I feel you
praise
owe
Lord.
To your church, to yourself, to the body of Christ.
And you won't need
to
drink for water.
to stand in the gap as intercessors for me and to pray in the stead. Say, Lord, I'm praying in the stead of Don Barnett. Right now, as you call me in a meeting, going through administrative work, or as you're studying the word, or as you're going through something, or even if he's praying, he's not really having maybe the time, the energy, physically, I am standing, I'm praying in his stead that you'll work this out here. Work this out with this brother. Work this out over here. Help me church decisions. I'm praying in the stead of all the elders. They don't have to be waiting upon God for decisions in the land and the prophets.
Hallelujah.
And they're not taking all the time either. And it's difficult in this time. You have some of the same problems. You know what they mean. But you still have more time than we do, more time than I do anyway. And you need to stand in the gap and say, Lord, I'm praying for that prophet. I'm going to stand in the gap and pray for
the land.
Part of the same body, part of the same link.
We have blood.
I know many of you have, and God has
honored
it. If you hadn't,
but
you've been
bread.
Dead a long time ago.
There are some truths that are sweeter to the
also,
mouth.
Also, don't be a saboteur.
But we'll learn
we
both
have saboteurs in the camp.
They
run around sabotaging
more of the
other people. And
you know,
then you make it difficult to go in, try to repair it, it takes a lot of energy, it takes a lot of difficulty.
I spent
several hours trying to repair something. The devil was allowed to
God
sabotage.
God has a variety of sweet things.
And there's one more thing. The devil is
for
sabotaging.
There's
don't
a
be
vine
a saboteur.
And the vine. There's the figs you mentioned. There's the pomegranate.
All
the honey.
Got to be able to carry this. One of
the blessings of fruit
don't come in and throw things in the roof and foul up the machinery
because they are
difficult
in operation in your life.
In other words, don't be rebellious. Don't blame. Don't criticize. Don't get in and teach other doctrines and bring confusion. Don't get in and bring negative things to people. Don't dampen people's faith. Don't get in and turn things around. And
he's bringing us into a body that's completely
now what enables Britain to win.
Hope you're reading
the three things that enable Britain to win
now
against the superior enemy. And I'm going to give them to you.
If you're
the
down
first
the
one is
radio. God because you got
they
all the
invented radio and had the
let's
radio post
beyond
up. Radio
God
eyes in
the
future.
Church. Let's go on and do more than
when
that.
When the Germans came up
the
across
land.
The canal,
verse
they
nine,
could see him
a land
with
land
eyes beyond themselves and see what was going to happen in the future.
Thou shalt not lack anything in it.
And they could look out and make it seem
that the
crossing
and out of the hills are made of big breath.
Flying into the vicinity of Liverpool.
In that land, when
and they can look at the aircraft just in the Liverpool area
and
keep the rest
and say,
on the ground
and
bring them up and be in the air
Bible.
30,000 feet waiting for the enemy to come
we'll
in below.
Send us a prophet.
That
send
was a
healing.
Tremendous help.
We'll have the gift of healing. We'll have the gift of
and
healing.
And God
the
has given us, wants to give us eyes into the future. Spiritual eyes to know the future before one on behalf of
for somebody to come and do something for him. He's already come.
And by his spirit, we might know the things that are coming to pass. The enemy's designs against us. We might be forewarned. We might be able to move out of the event. The second thing that enables them to win the war
is you'll find brass in there.
Code breakers were able to break the code
that they will
of the left
able to you'll be able to
and
have
when you were growing, the head of the human left rock was broadcast
you
and you caused the plane to take off
out of
in various parts of France and areas
tools,
of certain things.
We'll be
and
the
pilots coming into battle and so forth, they were listening to him
you'll
as
be able to
and knew what they were trying.
And
therefore, to exercise had knowledge of the enemy's strategy.
Made out of iron and you're fighting against the enemy of your soul.
You know, God also has given us spiritual knowledge and wants to give us spiritual knowledge against the enemy's strategy.
And also,
so when the enemy comes in to deceive you by lies against you and against us and so forth,
for the good land
we might be able to know what he's planning to bring us in the church to do this for God. By our spirit, the Lord,
God.
We might know what to do,
not
that he is planning, and know how to
and
operate
with the this day.
And the third
you must
thing
not forget it because you've got
that
the blessing of God and forget
way.
Not to keep his commandments because we're enjoying the honey
big,
of sweetness.
Heavy
and
set,
we begin to enter into the joy of the Lord and the praise of
God.
Don't forget the commandments
brought into a higher
oh,
man
God
because of his ability in the
world. Listen, he said, don't you forget. You start forgetting because you got blessings. And you start thinking you don't have to keep your commandments because he's blessing.
Because he had more power here, he was sure that he was going to be able to defeat him. And that's what they did.
And they did a lot of strategic When
you look,
just
see how Israel was like this.
It
certainly looks like this.
Just about the time he had the Pharaoh's base about knocked out, he shipped
him
over
to
the
Bible.
About 10 years ago, he took over the bomb in the cities of England.
And
just about the time he had him on the ropes, he shipped him out
and
did something else. Very poor.
And well,
in the Lord may have come and spoken to his mind and said, go and bomb us instead.
Good houses,
say, who knows?
And the hoods and the
but you know, the devil's like that.
Big
and fat and cocky, you know. But we've got a better commander than him.
That means he's made provisions, made to build building after
and
building.
And his strategy was, he told Hitler, I can defeat England in 4 days. He said, we'll bring massive air power, and they'll all put all the airplanes up to attack. Now, fighter planes, we got a lot more of them, and more train pilots will move in and mow down their air force. And once their air force is defeated, we can make an invasion. We'll give up. We've got nothing to stop us from coming in.
You don't forget to pick from whence you've been dug.
And they stood back and moved it.
And
the code. And the commander said, when we want to send them out, which is just a very small token, just enough to weave in around the bottom so they can't keep the bomb straight. And with some very few up and save all the rest of them back here for the invasion, for the big push. And it went on and it went on, and Hitler was getting in a rush to invade the Russians. He said, when are we going to have to defeat them? Won't we go along? A couple more times, and the weather got bad, and then this. He kept dragging on and dragging on all the time. They're building more aircraft factories and saying, yes, he's sending more supplies. And they kept getting worse. And they were trying to get this time. They couldn't get them with all the aircraft up. And they were bombing cities and bombing that. They suffered on the ground. But they kept on building until finally the tide began to turn. Because he knew what to do. And they were careful about what to do. And a lot of people were fussing at the English high command, but they knew what they were doing. Only a few men knew the secret. And a lot of people were fussing at God, too, but he knows the secret. And we are fewer than they are those of the enemy. And the enemy looks like he can conquer us easy and all of this. But God has his strategies. He may be keeping a lot of us on the ground for a while. And they were on the ground, the other aircraft pilots said, well, how come they're out there fighting the few men going against great odds? Why don't we? Why doesn't he release us too? They didn't know the overall strategy. How come there's just a few out of you? How come he didn't release all of us? But God knows what he's doing.
Don't forget you came out of the house.
And we're going to defeat him. We have a better commander. We rise in the future. God knows the code of the enemy.
Let's break up. I got it.
Now, let me move into the last one. To close the message, translation.
Some are going back in, and we're bringing
translation means to bail from one place to another. There is translation of language. You take the language from one language,
that you should not
and you bring the words of the message into another language.
Jesus Christ has been ever
and the translation of things from one place to another. And in both cases, it undergoes a change while being during the transportation phase. If you transport a language from one language to another, you say the same thing, but it undergoes a change. And if you take a change from one place to another, you undergo a change too, as well, one place to another. Now, the Christian life originates in a supernatural transition from the old life to the new, and it continues by a supernatural transfusion from Christ, Jesus, and then it is expressed as God by a supernatural transmission to the world, and is consummated in a supernatural translation, and out translation, and up translation, which is the whole reason, by the way, for creation.
Was it by faith?
The whole reason for salvation. That we might be out-translated to be with him and fellowship him. Now, this translation occurs when we are transformed, here's another one, transformed to the image of his son. As
you go back in the bondage and look in yourself at the
the transition we make, and then the transfusion we get, and the transmitting we do, brings us into a state of transformation.
What makes you think that the
we are transformed, formed into a new mold by this transfusion and transmitting. Once we have undergone a transition.
By all the bondage.
And that leads to translating.
Enoch walked with God and was not, but God took him.
Why don't you look for the Spirit of God to perfect you?
God is looking
why you
for exact replicas of his son.
Legalism, Judaizers come into the camp trying to drag you back under the law.
Scripture said that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Just the firstborn among many brethren. There'll be others, other sons. We are also all the sons of God.
What's the theme? who made
Beloved,
these great and terrible
now
women?
Now are we the sons of God. It used to be, but now are we.
Scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth from
the world should take knowledge that we have been with Jesus. I give you this possible. Listen, it is knowledge that they have been with Jesus.
Because
we've been transfused and we're transmitting.
And as he went to the world,
I'm going to end by 1 John.
Many of you fell in him, you know it.
Read the scripture in 1 John 2:2.
You saw them in the desert for a while. And as a shadow of death. Many have walked in the shadow. The enemy is hiding in the shadow. And many people found death. But they didn't stay with the shepherd. They found death. How did I turn them over? They found death. It was a shadow of death. You're hanging in the
Beloved, shadow. Now
so
are we the sons of God.
You.
And that's not all. It does not yet appear what we shall be, not what we shall do, but what we shall be instead of being. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him.
Because they rebelled against Moses.
So we shall see Him.
Against the past and the elders.
As He is.
And they
can see Him
for
by being translated.
For themselves.
Translated.
And they rebelled against
Him. Cut up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
That's what's happened.
Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
And the fiery serpents out of the wilderness. And there are you in these fiery
serpents. You've undergone a transition. If you haven't, you should come to the altar this morning and give your lives to Jesus Christ. Come
to
the piano, please.
Where we see our sins, the brass serpent, judgment, nailed to the cross for us in Christ. Because these fiery serpents, some have been bit by oppressing spirits. Some have been bit by lying spirits. Some have been bit by lustful spirits. Some have been bit by fearful spirits. Some have been bit by doubtful spirits. Some have been bit by rebellious spirits. Some have been bit by lethargic spirits. And some have died being bit because they did not look to their sins being forgiven and hung on the cross. But those that looked up and saw their sins, the serpent, in judgment, sin put away on the cross, legally, they lived and did not die when they got bit by these oppressing spirits. But others, they died by it. And they got water. We got water out of the flinty rock. When there was no water, Christ becomes the supply and brings out of the hardest, flintiest rock there is. Christ. Which there is no changing. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not. Your former pastors and relatives did not know of what you know and what you're entering into, what lays up ahead in the fullness of the stature of Christ, the perfect man, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. The latter end is the latter rain. That's the latter end. But you know the crops need the severe winters and so forth to make them husky and hardy. They need the winds to blow to send the roots down. They need the cold that they might build heavy shells about themselves, that they might be able to raise up on high stalks into the sunshine and bear big ears of corn when the rain comes, the latter rain. They need the other, and they need the winter seasons. And so God in His mercy allows you to have it. Just stay in Christ. Don't give up and die in the winter. Wrap yourself. Wrap yourself in this cold, hide in the rock. And get some shadow shelter there. And the sunshine will come out. The day star will arise. And the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings and warmth in the land. And the birds will begin to sing. The land will blossom forth with fruit all over the land. And you'll wonder where it all came from. The sun has come. Jesus Christ has come. The land will be full of the singing of the birds and the harvest. And thou wilt say in thy heart, if you're not careful, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But it's not by our abilities nor work. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And I submit to you, if God has sworn unto us that there shall be a latter rain, there shall be a perfection in the body, if God has covenanted with us, then I submit to you, it shall be so. He swore unto our fathers because of their prayers, because of their thirstings, because of their crying. And we are the recipients of His grace, the sons of Abraham in the Spirit. It's being fulfilled in us because they did not fully weren't able to implement it. And it shall be if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them, if other things become before you and Him,
even to be your own Isaac, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, Community Chapelites. You shall surely perish. God shall write Ichabod across the front door of Community Chapel, and I, for one, will leave. Because if God will not be here, there's no reason for us being here. And if we will not open the door and leave it open, He will not be here. And if we will ever plateau and stay forever in a plateau, we'll dry up, and the springs of water will be full of crawly things. But we have got to keep the water running out so He can keep bringing it in. We've got to keep fresh life. The manna must not putrefy. We must let it stay in the ark in Christ and let it continue to live. We must continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And then the final warning comes in verse 20. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. A solemn warning following a beautiful promise. And we do not have to be participants of the warning. We can be participants of the promise. The choice is ours. And as for me and my house, I covenant before the Lord, we will serve the Lord. All that are on the Lord's side, stand up. Praise the Lord.